I implore you, friends, to look at the Gospel, to look at the book of Romans as if you had never looked at it before. I implore you to look as if you were looking in a mirror and seeing a reverse image. The Gospel is not what you thought it was. This is Colin Cook, and this is How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today, my friends. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God, the good news of our Heavenly Father, as revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ, and how He made this great plan by which all of our humanity was dumped on Christ, and our Savior took everything of our humanity and executed it, and then rose from the dead to account us resurrected in Him. Now, look, we are looking at Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. These verses are explosive with contradictions. Gospel, good news, the proclamation of good news, good tidings. And yet, what do we have? The defeat and failure of God. Let me remind you, my friends, that the gospel is more than the fact that Christ took our humanity upon Himself and was executed for it. It is more than that He rose from the dead and counts us alive in His resurrection. It is more than the revelation of the love of God. It is more than the victory over the forces of evil by Christ, who defeated Satan at the cross. The gospel, the cross of Christ, is God's defeat. Have you ever thought of that? Our God came to the world to proclaim the good news about His love for us. He came to bring life. He came to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. And virtually nobody listened to Him. Oh yes, the crowds listened to Him for a long time and then turned against Him, didn't they? And what do we have as a result of all this? I mean, I know it's one certain view, but try to understand what I'm getting at. God could not get across to human beings. God could not reveal this love without a severe, violent reaction on the part of mankind. Don't think it was just Jews that killed Christ or Romans that killed Christ. It was humanity that killed Christ, the humanity of every man and woman. We could not take such unmitigated, unvarnished love. We could not handle it. It was too much for us to take in. It was too threatening in some way to our guilt and shame and fear. And we executed Christ. We executed the creator of the universe. Now, what I'm trying to say then is that this power of God is met in God's failure. Do you understand that? The power of God is met in that God was willing to come to the earth to reveal unmitigated, unvarnished love, and knowing full well that humanity would revolt and be nauseated by such love and kill it. God knew that He had to enter the world and fail. That is the redemption, that is the good news, that is the gospel, back to front, upside down, inside out, paradoxical, mirror image, inversion. You and I have to look at the good news, the gospel, as if we had never seen it before. You want the power of God? Then look at God's failure. You want the power of God in your life? Then look at your failure. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Now listen, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Do you see what this is saying? We, by faith in him, are a repeat image. Not a perfect image, a repeat image. Of Jesus, of what's going on and what went on in Jesus. Jesus, God among men, came to express love and faith, and it killed him. And that same reality is being repeated in us. We're always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Do you understand that that's the nature of your addiction? Do you understand that? I mean, it took me years to realize this. It was only when I began to see the grace of God, the mercy of God, that I could start to praise God for the struggle with homosexuality, that I could praise God for the polio, that I could praise God for that vacuous emptiness that was in my life as an early boy, as a young boy. And as I began to praise, I realized that these struggles that I had were, in fact, I know this sounds strange, the defeat of God in me, that the resurrection of God in Christ may be made manifest. We revolt against our struggles. Bad mistake. We cannot stand this. We think, why should I be having these troubles if I am a Christian? You should be having these troubles precisely because you're a Christian, because the death of Christ is being revealed in you as well as the life of Christ. So don't be surprised by it, you see. Don't expect something different. The gospel is a paradox. The gospel presents to us God's power in his defeat. This is why Paul is able to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he asked God to take away, you know, this thorn in the flesh, he pleaded with God three times that it might depart from him, whatever that thorn in the flesh was. And God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That is, in another translation, "My strength is perfected in weakness." That is, it comes to its full, my strength comes to its full flower, its full formulation in a weak situation. Now, you see, you're struggling maybe with drugs or alcohol, food issues, worry, heterosexual or homosexual addiction, or maybe just sickness, not just sickness for sure, but sickness or grief or the loss of a job, loss of friendships, and you are experiencing terrible weakness. Don't bemoan it. Don't decry it. Don't say, "Where is God?" But rather, employ faith and say, "Father, you are perfecting your strength in my weakness." This is the gospel. This is the upside down, inside out, back to front gospel. When it comes to Paul saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," he has to say that because precisely people would think, "Well, surely you're afraid of that nitwit Jesus, aren't you? I mean, how idiotic. The man who was supposed to lead a world religion and was killed for it. What a disappointment he was to you, right?" No, Paul says. Not a disappointment. His weakness, his willing to become weak in the presence of human beings and submit to their tyranny and their violence and their cruelty and their wrath, his willingness to become weak in the presence of human force is the power of God. And this is what Christians are being called to do. They're not called to be carpets, you know, to be walked over and all of that sort of thing. They're not called to be pathetic. Of course, But we are in ourselves, you see, pathetic. We are in ourselves wimps. We are in ourselves powerless, and we do not resist that and try to be strong. We say, Father, Father, your strength must be made, must be perfected in my wimpiness. Your strength must, will come forth in my inability to cope. Ah, my friend, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the upside-down power of God, the inside-out power of God, the back-to-front power of God, the God in weakness. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What? Righteousness? How can righteousness be by faith? That would cut clear across all the thinking of a Jew. Righteousness is revealed by obedience. Righteousness comes by conformity to the law. Righteousness comes by discipline and learning how to be to conform to all of God's ways. No. Righteousness comes by trusting in Christ, who, in all of his human weakness, surrendered to the Father and was obedient to the Father and became the one man for all men, the one man who succeeded where all men failed. And it is in his righteousness that I trust, that I put my hope, not in my accomplishments. And so, my friend, you know, you go to church, you see rationality, you see logic, you have committee meetings, you have financial committees, you have organizational missionary committees, and care for the poor committees. Everything is organized. There are budgets, and there are building plans, and what have you. Everything is logical, but it is not faith in the illogic of God, who, in order to have the power to save, gave up the power and became weak. In him we trust. And there may be many of you that have experienced that weakness, that abuse, that childhood abandonment, and have known a life of great weakness, and it has affected your sexuality. And you might therefore want to come to my seminar on the 29th. Now, this seminar is not about homosexuality. It is about human sexuality, sexual identity. Where do we get it? What happens when we lose it? Can we get it back? What level of healing is there? How do we learn by faith to receive our sexuality again? Not just genital sexuality, not just sexual acts, but the whole identity of being human. So many people lose their humanity when they are sexual, or become sexual and leave their self on the shelf. We need to learn to pull it all together again, and we can, by faith. Well, we can and we can't, and that's the paradox of what we're going to learn about at this seminar. Join me then on Saturday the 29th of January, Sexual Identity, La Quinta Inn, Lakewood, Colorado, 7190 West Hampden Avenue between Wadsworth and Sheridan. Admission is by donation, my friends. Bring what you can, but $70 to $110 is recommended. If you can't manage that, bring what you can. All donations are gladly accepted. We start at 9 in the morning, and we go on till 3:30 in the afternoon. There is a break for lunch. We have some fellowship over lunch, if you like. And I think you're going to be truly blessed. So I look forward to seeing you 29th of January. And I'll see you next time, my friend. Cheerio, and God bless.